Until now, it's been awfully hard to find out much about Goody's half-decade in South America, but Big Boy flourished in the sunny Latin climate. And what we know for sure is that he moved from Argentina to Brazil, and by about 1944, was well-established in Rio. He was playing samba and samba swing, deeply engaged with the Brazilian music scene, mentoring some of the local talent, and he even owned a nightclub. Frank reinvented his style again, and once again worked his way to the center of musical action, and put himself in the employ of a successful impresario bandleader, meanwhile maintaining his independence as a musician and freelancer. All in all, he prospered and seems to have thoroughly enjoyed life in Brazil.
It took a couple of years to really learn the samba rhythms, but it was worth it. Playing Brazilian music has helped me a lot.
And by 1944, Frank was married to an Argentine woman, though we know nothing about her. And though I doubt Big Boy ever lacked for female companionship, this is at least one instance when he established a significant and stable relationship. He typically reduced his description to Jim Lee of what must have been a major enterprise on his part to simply saying that, together, he and his wife had owned a little, what he called cabaret for dancing, what we'd call a nightclub. Apparently, he supplied the music for dancing and she ran the business. Fortunately, we have an eyewitness view of Goody in Rio, thanks to Richard Hadlock. In his mid-teens, his father was an executive for RCA Victor in Brazil. And in the 40s, they lived in the swank beachside resort known as the Copacabana, a famous strip of beach that was synonymous with and anchored by Copacabana Palace Hotel.
The Copacabana Hotel, which is a block from our apartment building, and the hotel was upscale. Had a huge casino. It was one of three casinos in Rio with the international gamblers would assemble there, and like Monte Carlo or something, you know, it was a biggie.
And Goody was also performing at the Copacabana Hotel with the samba swing band Aristide Zacharias. We're hearing records by the Aristide Zacharias Orchestra, even though Goody's not on them that we know of. It was a large Latin dance orchestra of five brass, five reeds, and four rhythm instruments, and had toured widely in South America and whacked some of the biggest hits of Brazilian music. Hadlock is now an accomplished jazz writer and broadcaster.
And I was taking lessons from Zacharias. He was a masterful saxophone player. So he wanted the saxes to be good, and he wrote tough parts for them and for himself. He did invite me to a couple of his rehearsals at the Copacabana, and that's how I happened to notice this very tall tenor man, and who was obviously of African origin, and asked somebody about it. Said, "Oh, that's Big Boy." And he came from Europe after the war started. That's all I knew. I didn't know his name was Goody. Not much of a jazz man, as it turns out. He was kind of a little too stiff, you know. But more of a, if Jimmy Dorsey didn't play a lot of jazz, he was more of that kind of a leader, featuring his clarinet and his alto. So Goody would have had a fairly limited number of solos because Zach is up front with a saxophone. How many tenor solos are you going to give out? You know, not many.
Nonetheless, Hadlock firmly believes that Goody was recording in Rio. And he should know, his dad was a big wheel in the headquarters of RCA's Brazilian operations. But no recordings of Big Boy from South America have yet surfaced, even among collectors of Brazilian music. like Tony Baldwin, the kind gentleman who sent me these sides. In 1943, Morena Boca de Oro shows off the band's powerful brass and reed sections. Richard didn't think to introduce himself to Big Boy, he took note of his nearby French restaurant. Hadlock is certain this is not the same as the nightclub.
There wouldn't be any dancing. That cafe wasn't much bigger than the room you're sitting in. This little room would have no room for a band, I don't think. Yeah, this was a real tiny space on the corner. Well, it was the street right behind our apartment building, so it was a block away. On the ground floor, the lower window sill would be maybe waist high to me. I would look in and see all these tables lined up for the evening, but nobody there yet, probably. And red checkered tablecloths. It just looked like a little set for a movie in Paris or something, you know. I don't think you could have put a band in there without taking all the tables out.
Though he had done very well in South America, establishing roots, marrying and starting businesses, Goody was back in Paris by 1946. And a decade later, living on separate continents, his erstwhile spouse somehow managed to cut him out of the deal. And Frank somehow lost his share of ownership in the nightclub and presumably his ties to Latin America.